States headquarters in Washington, D.C. My name is Kern Stanley, and welcome to an OAS Radio Roundtable, a 30-minute feature tackling some of the major issues in the Inter-American. This week's topic, the just concluded OAS mission to Haiti, September 3rd through 6th, and we have in studio three guests. Well, actually, everyone in studio here was part of that mission. So right opposite me, we have Organization of American States Assistant Secretary General, Ambassador Albert Ramden. Welcome, Ambassador.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Next to him, we have OAS Permanent Representative of Guyana and Chair of the Caucus of Caribbean Ambassadors, Ambassador Beni Karan.
Thank you very much. Nice Welcome. To be here.
To my left, we have OAS Permanent Representative of Haiti, Ambassador Dooley Brutus, and our host for the OAS mission to Haiti.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start off with Ambassador Ramden just to give us some background and maybe some information and views on the mission.
Thank you very much, Gwen. Indeed, we had the first Inter-American mission to Haiti from the 3rd to the 6th of September. Inter-American because in this case it was not only the Organization of American States but also the five other institutions belonging to the Inter-American system. The Pan-American Development Foundation, the Inter-American Development Bank, the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, IICA, as well as the Pan-American Health Organization. These five institutions have a long-standing relationship with Haiti in terms of assistance, in terms of technical expertise, in terms of projects. And we felt that it was time not to separate ourselves, but to join our efforts and go together to Haiti to witness successful projects which each of these institutions executed. And we thought it also important that as part of this mission, we should have the representation of the member states, the regional groups, so that they could witness what is happening in Haiti firsthand. And thirdly, we felt that it was important to include the media in this mission because we thought that it would be useful to provide more information to the people of the Americas on what is happening in Haiti. That is basically also the objectives. These were the objectives, a very positive, constructive look at developments in Haiti, visiting successful projects, but also to get some feedback from the Haitian authorities in terms of what kind of policy, what kind of strategy we need to follow in the future. So out of this mission, several things have come out. One is that we have a firsthand witness, eyewitness experience from ambassadors, and I think that will reflect well on what we are doing. Secondly, we showed that it is possible to have successful projects in Haiti executed, projects with Haitians on the basis of Haiti's needs and priorities. And thirdly, I think important is that we take a lot of elements back to develop and or redevelop our strategy towards Haiti. This is in a nutshell basically the mission, but it was quite successful and I'm sure that it will have follow-up.
Beautiful. And I'd like now to move to Ambassador Karan, who was also on the mission, just to give his view on it and experiences maybe.
Well, thank you, Kern. I couldn't put it better myself than Assistant Secretary General Ramden. The mission had the opportunity to meet with all the significant sectors in Haitian society. We met with President Preval. We met with the private sector, with the diplomatic community there, with the Elections Commission. So we had an excellent overview of the challenges faced by Haiti, as well as the new potentialities which have opened up as a result of in areas such as economic activity and so on, as a result of the period of stability and security which Haiti has recently enjoyed. I think the mission itself was an important show of support by the international community to assist Haiti in helping to consolidate this achievement. And to show some accomplishment of what Haiti has undergone in the recent past. I think, as I had mentioned in my address to the Permanent Council following the our return, that what was striking was the absence of pessimism, and that the impression we came away with that Haiti is now a forward-looking country. Of course, there are challenges. There are many problems, as outlined to us by the president and others with whom we spoke. But all in all, it was an important mission, both for Haiti and for the Inter-American system. And I think that to sum it up in a word, it was successful. It was a good mission.
Okay. And now I'd like to move to our host, our host on the mission, Ambassador Dudley Brutus, permanent representative of Haiti, to give his view, maybe extensive on what is happening and how he views the mission.
First of all, I would like to say it was for Haitian people a good occasion to receive in Haiti some members of the Inter-American system. And for me also, I was very pleased to have in Haiti some colleagues from the OAS and the Assistant Secretary General. They went there to visit Haiti. I can tell you we believe it was time for some journalists outside of Haiti to start presenting Haiti differently. Until now, when you talk about Haiti, people see violence, they see instability, and we believe today we are making a lot of progress in the fields of security and political stability. And I believe all members of this delegation, they went everywhere in Haiti and they appreciate all progress we have made in Haiti.
Okay. And that truly was an interesting part of it, the ability of the journalists to actually see a lot of the things that the heads of the different organizations in the mission was able to see. And I know personally that a lot of the information was used almost as education on a different perspective, really, on what is going on in Haiti. Amasa, I'd like to go back to you, really, because I know you have visited Haiti on a number of occasions, and as opposed to Ambassador Brutus, you would have maybe a different view on what you've seen as far as progress is concerned. Maybe you can tell us maybe a little bit about your views on that.
Well, you know, I, having been to Haiti for more than, 60 times, I don't think I can differ in my views with Ambassador Brutus, because I'm almost Haitian. I think the point which Ambassador Brutus made is very important, is we have to give an opportunity to the media to showcase Haiti. For too long, and for the wrong reason, Haiti was put like a dark country with no opportunities, where things were wrong, where there was a crisis all the time. That is the perception we have of a country which is a member state of the Organization of American States, one of the founding members, the first CARICOM country to become a member of the organization. Haiti has meant so much to the Americas, not only to the Caribbean, but to the Americas and to the world as the first African Republic independent. So it is not the best perception you can create for a country. And I think it was based on wrong assumptions. Things were wrong in Haiti, but there are many things wrong in many other countries, and we don't see that perception developing. So it is time to be honest about Haiti. You don't need to go to the extreme and say, you know, everything is fine. That is not the case. That's not the purpose of this mission. The mission was to create a balanced view on Haiti, where we see challenges, where we see progress, where we see opportunities. Now, I think that is what we want to establish, because Haiti continues to require assistance, and for a while it will require assistance. What we want to see is that there is this sincere collaboration from Haitians taking responsibility and charge of their own country with the international community, with the assistance, and that should be reflected in the media. What I have found in the Caribbean, as we're speaking to the Caribbean media now, is that there is a lot of misunderstanding. There is a lot of, I would almost say, ignorance about what is happening in Haiti, and that is not the best basis to to create a judgment or to provide support. So I hope that through this mission, and we have seen some of the documentaries, as you mentioned, very balanced, very realistic, and I think that is what the people should see. And I hope that out of that, the solidarity will grow, but also the assistance will grow to Haiti.
Truly, and we know that education and information truly leads to education. I'd like also now to welcome Ambassador Glenda Moran-Phillip, OAS permanent representative of Trinidad and Tobago, who is joining us by phone. Ambassador Phillip was also part of the OAS mission to Haiti. Ambassador, are you there? Hello, Ambassador? Okay. Just a little difficulties there. We'll catch up with the ambassador maybe later on in the show. I'd also like to welcome to joining us via telephone feed is Bobby Vieira of One Caribbean Radio in New York. He is one of the participating journalists today, and we'd like to welcome him. And we'll hear from Bobby later on in the show when we open up to questions. Ambassador Karan, I'd like to move to you now and maybe talk a little bit about CARICOM and its support and its involvement in Haiti. You now are the chairman of the Caucus of Caribbean Ambassadors, and you may be able to give us a little more insight on what's going on as far as plans and maybe projects in the past that you've been involved with Haiti.
Well, as you know, Haiti is member of the Caribbean community, and Haiti is a member of that community for reasons of history, common ancestry, common historical experience, and a determination on the part of the people of the region and the leaders of the CARICOM region that Haiti should be integrated within the structures of the hemisphere and should not be isolated in any way. And I think that lies at the root of Haiti's inclusion in our treaty-based integration system. CARICOM, of course, does not have as deep pockets as some of the players who are engaged in trying to bring about socio-economic development in Haiti. There's going to be an important conference in Mexico in November, for example, and we have President Clinton on board as a special representative engaged in trying to promote investments and so on. But CARICOM has been assisting in many ways, in ways that it can, in security, helping out in the security area, and also in some degree of grant funding for development in Haiti.
Okay. And Ambassador Brutus, anything to add as far as the CARICOM initiative and involvement? I know one pure factor, one pure example of that would be coming out of the Fifth Summit of the Americas in Port of Spain, and the focus that Prime Minister Patrick Manning put on Haiti and its development.
I can tell you the Haitian government has appreciated a lot the statement from the Prime Minister of Trinidad during the Summit of the Americas, when he asked all countries in the Americas to try to help Haiti. And also what I can tell you, Haitian people also, they know very well the relationship between Haiti and all countries of the CARICOM. For example, after the hurricane last year, CARICOM was close to Haiti to support Haiti. They sent more than $5 million to help Haiti face this situation. That's why I believe it's a pleasure for the Haitian government to continue its presence within the CARICOM. Okay. And what I believe, today we are making some progress in Haiti about learning English, because in the past Haitian people were very turned to France. Today a lot of Haitian people believe it's very important for Haiti to have a Caribbean university to be able to share a lot of what we have together with CARICOM countries.
Yes, thanks, Gurn. And I wanted to follow up on both Ambassador Karan and Ambassador Brutus' points on the relationship with CARICOM. I think we have to recognize a couple of very important features here. First of all, Haiti is, the reality at this point, is the largest country in the Caribbean community. With 9.1 million people, is the largest country. Secondly, that makes Haiti's language, French, in fact, the first language in the Caribbean. These are important elements which we need to take on board because it will determine how we deal with each other. So CARICOM's integration process has not only deepened, but also widened in terms of Suriname and Haiti joining and thereby introducing new features to the region. It's not English-speaking anymore. It's not Commonwealth-oriented anymore. It is really becoming an international community of nations. So that's the first one. I think we have to keep that in mind. While that presents challenges in terms of the integration process and the harmonization of in several ways, it creates opportunities also. And I think I want to focus on those following. One is that while CARICOM as a region, as member states in support of Haiti have provided support, the Caribbean Development Bank has pledged $70 million, as Ambassador Brutus said, support from CARICOM governments in terms of hurricane or disaster relief and so on. But I think there are more opportunities. First is more people-to-people engagement. I think if you want to have the best relationship and a strong bond between member states is to promote people-to-people relationship. In this case, NGOs, religious organizations, sports organizations should have relations, establish relations with their counterparts in Haiti. We have tried to facilitate a stronger collaboration in the field of education with three universities in Haiti collaborating with the University of the West Indies. That is now taking off. I think there will be a return visit of the University of the West Indies to the State University of Haiti and Quisqueya and Notre Dame. So in that sense, something is happening already. Much more can be done, I think. There is an enormous potential in terms of education in Haiti. But most importantly, I think if the Caribbean really wants to, at this point, assist Haiti in its further development and consolidating what Ambassador Karan was talking about, the peace and stability and the economic opportunities, is to try to work and assist in economic development. And not so much through the governments, but through the private sector. I think there is a lot of opportunity to assist Haiti because there is funding available, there is a need, there is a plan. I think more private sector engagement in Haiti would benefit Haiti, but certainly the private sector in the Caribbean, especially in these days. And in that sense, I think Chamber of Commerce and private sector organizations should engage with their counterparts in Haiti. I mean, funding is available to build roads, but the capacity is not available in Haiti. There are hospitals to be built, schools to be built, other kind of facilities. So we need to engage in a different way, in a much broader sense with Haiti. And I think that will benefit not only Haiti, but the Caribbean as a whole.
I guess, sorry, going into that, we can maybe talk about some of the projects that we visited in Haiti. I would think that if we're talking about development, maybe some of these projects can be almost a mirror or an example of how Haitians are able to actually take hold of what they have presented to them and maybe make a difference in their own personal lives. We can start at any project. I know the Organization of American States has the identification program in Haiti, and maybe we can start off with you, Ambassador, again, talking about that.
No, this is I think a very fundamental project for any country to have a civil registry which is updated, which is trustworthy, and which has the features of a modern civil registry. And I think Haiti has now the basics of a modern civil registry. I would go even so far to say that with 96% of the adult population registered and provided with a national ID card, which has unique features and is useful for more than election purposes that Haiti has, compared to other countries in the region, a better civil registry at this point in time, in the making, than many other countries. We are going to expand this project to include the whole population so that we can have Haiti issue birth certificates and identity documents up to the age of 18 years, and after that they receive this national ID card, which is then also used for voting, but also for banking, for schools, for education, for licensing, and so on. So this project has been very successful, supported very strongly, I must mention, primarily by the government of Canada, and we should be grateful, because this is a project which is almost going into a $20 million US dollar project over a period of 4 years. Key is, and I want to stress this point, is that whatever we do in Haiti, we need to do this with the Haitians, side by side, so that we build capacity on the ground, so that when we leave, that is the international community, that Haiti has the capacity developed, have the equipment to do it on their own. Because in the end, Haiti will take charge of its own development. And so we are very pleased that in 2013, we hope to hand over this project as a collective activity to the Haitian authorities. And that would be a very strong instrument for planning, for the cadastre, for taxes purposes, for utilities, if we can identify where people live and how old they are, and based on that make planning.
Okay. And we also had a couple other projects, one sponsored by the Inter-American Development Bank, the Pan-American Development Fund, as well as the Pan-American Health Organization. I don't know if Ambassador Karan or Ambassador Brutus would like to maybe to give some specific views on a couple of those projects or site visits. Ambassador Brutus?
I know we visited first the civil registration with OAS. What I would like to add on that is it's very important to say in Haiti we have in the past a system of birth registration, but with the OAS today we have a new system, a system very modernized. We think it's a very good thing for Haiti, and all Haitian people are very proud. For example, one Haitian want to go to the bank, he has an opportunity to show his ID. I think that's a good thing for Haiti, and a good progress. And we have all a lot of a project in Haiti with the system Inter-American. For example, some project in the field of agriculture with IICA, and some project with the health organization in the Pan-American organization. For example, when we go to the north of Port-au-Prince, they try to help all women who are pregnant how to arrive to lower the rate of maternal mortality.
Infant mortality.
Exactly, in Haiti. We think that is a very good program for Haiti, and all Haitians appreciate that.
Okay. Ambassador Karan?
Well, two things that stood out were the visits to Jacmel, where there is an airport under construction there, and the visit to Cité Soleil, where there is a poultry project to benefit the local population. And again, it's not really to... it highlighted the potential of what's possible. These projects are in their embryonic stages, and no two projects are going to transform the country, clearly, but it showed what is possible, and it highlighted in the interactions we had with the local communities their interest and their resolve to really get moving, to get these projects going and to get the country moving. I think what it highlighted was Haiti is in a different gear.
Okay, I guess what we will thank you, Ambassador. Sorry, and we have Ambassador Glenda Moore and Philip, OAS Permanent Representative of Trinidad and Tobago, on the line. Ambassador, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Ambassador. Welcome.
Thank you. And as you know, we're talking about the OAS mission to Haiti, just concluded mission September 3rd to 6th. And
yes.
Maybe you can give us a little bit about your experience and perspective on it.
Yes, I would say it was quite a learning experience, a necessary experience if we are to follow through on the mandate we obtained from the summit just concluded in Trinidad and Tobago. And that is to establish the development fund for Haiti. As we have seen from the visit, there are and we knew beforehand, there are lots of programs on the ground. And we needed to see how best we can come up with an idea that would further ameliorate the suffering in Haiti. I say it was a learning experience because on the ground you saw not only the fact of the high unemployment, but you also saw the efforts of the people to assist themselves. And this is what part of the objective of the fund is, really, to assist Haiti in pulling itself out of its present economic position. This is not to say that